the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you, and welcome all to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time. It feels like summer almost. The weather is just so gorgeous, but I just got the word that in Texas, they are really getting battered by rain and floods, flash flooding. I'm hearing that 6 people have lost their lives, so let's hope that no one else lose their lives, and everything in Texas from this point on, from this get a lot better. And we have to pray for those people, okay? But I hope wherever you are within the United States, within the world, that everything's fine, everything is great. Welcome. This is Sunday night. And thank you for spending your Sunday night with me. If you cannot spend your Sunday night with me, you can always archive the show, download the show. This show is always recorded. Listen anytime you want at your convenience on any device that you have. This is the show to listen to. No other show. Listen to George. Okay. All right. We're going to, like I said, the weather is nice and everything's beautiful. And it's just amazing. And this is the 1st of November. Yeah, this is the 1st of November. And a few things in the news. The Republicans are going to revote. I believe they're going to request debates without a moderator. These guys are something else. They're pissed off because the moderators in their third debate didn't ask the questions that they wanted to answer. I mean, if you're running for president of the United States, you should be able to answer any question asked of you pertaining to the office of president. Don't you think so? These guys don't know jack. They don't know anything. I don't think not one of them idiots are capable or qualified president of the United States. I'm talking about the Republicans, because every time they're on stage, these guys never, ever talk about policy and issues. They don't talk about jobs, minimum wage, health care, the economy, gun control, and so on and so forth. They don't talk about issues, things that we Americans want to hear. They talk about each other. They talk about the media. You know, they talk, they're bitching about the questioning. And these guys want to be hired by you and me, the voter. I wouldn't vote for neither one of these clowns. You know, so, but however, I will say, get out there and vote. I mean, you have to vote. You just have to do that, because the reason why some of these clowns are in office is because a lot of us didn't get out there and vote. I voted, you know, but a lot of other people didn't get out there and vote, and we got these people in office, and they're just wreaking havoc on our government. Okay? All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm in my studio. I'm near the lake. It's comfortable. I'm near the window, so I'm able to look out on the boulevard, you know, and see what's going on. But it's night. It's nighttime because it's daylight savings time. You had to, you know, last night you had to go back 1 hour, which is an extra hour of sleep, but it's going to get darker a lot sooner. All right. Okay. Let's move right along. Let's move right along. I have a guest that's been waiting on the phones. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. Can we click it? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Call her. Are you there? Call her.
Yes, I'm there.
You there?
I'm here.
I'm there. Yeah. Okay. All right. You have a question or a comment, or are you the guest or what?
I'm the guest speaker.
You're Linda Katz, right?
Yes, I'm Linda Katz.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm on my studio board here. I don't have a name. All I get here is a phone number. So, you know. So, hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I want to tell my audience out here that this is Linda Katz. She's written a book called Surviving Mental Illness. She describes herself as being mentally ill. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Through the years, she has been faced with challenges that were difficult to overcome, but has been working hard to achieve recovery as a part of her recovery from mental illness. She became active in mental illness health in the health field. Linda became a member and of the National Alliance for Mentally Ill. All right, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, can you tell us something about yourself and something about the book?
Well, the book is basically what you said. It's a memoir of my challenges, experiences, mm-hmm. heartbreaks growing up with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about my recovery throughout the process, throughout my life, that I chose to take. And as a result, I am working part-time as a peer advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. I'm an author of another book called Peter mm-hmm. and Lisa, Mental Illness Children's Story, that I co-authored with my husband,
mm-hmm.
Charles Katz. So, it also basically deals with some hardships that I had to endure, such as the death of my parents. Unemployment, relationship troubles.
Okay. What does it mean to have a mental illness?
Mental illness is a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a variety of factors. Can be hereditary. Can be brought in by some psychological trauma, can be environmental,
mm-hmm.
can be biological.
So you're saying that anyone can get it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Usually someone between their early teenage years to as late as 45, probably.
I got a question. Can it be prevented?
It's a very hard one because you're not born with it. It develops over time. So if your parent, your mother or father has a mental illness, chances are that the child will have one later in life.
So it's genetic, kind of.
It's genetic, kind of.
Yeah. Once someone has a mental illness, can they ever get better? I mean, is there something that might be a cure?
I wouldn't say a cure, but with mm-hmm. medication and therapy and a good support team on your side and support from family and friends, you can achieve a life that's worth living again.
Okay.
You can be someone successful in your own unique way.
You may not be
able to do what you did before you got ill, but there are so many choices out there that you have the ability to choose from.
Mm.
And I used to be in the business world, used to want to work in banking, finance,
mm-hmm.
but it was too cutthroat for me, and I couldn't find a job, and because I couldn't find employment, it caused me to get sick, and after I got sick, I started to change my to choose other options. Like I thought of maybe counseling or paraprofessional teacher. And then I decided later on that I really belonged in the mental health.
I was going to say, I had a guest on the show not too long ago, and she also described herself as someone with a mental illness. But as I was talking to her on the show, she didn't sound like someone who had a mental illness. She sounded like just, you know, a regular person. Is that possible for some people to sound like and to be regular people with this illness?
Yes. Yes. In fact, you shouldn't judge a person by their illness per se. Mm-hmm. It's what's inside that counts. And the mental illness is just part of it, but it's not, doesn't make up the whole person. So you shouldn't judge a person by their illness. You should judge them for who they are as an individual.
I agree. But when most people think of mental illness, you know, they think of people who are crazy.
Yes.
You know, people who just don't have it, you know. People like, you know, a lot of times you hear on the news somebody's taking a gun and shooting up schools, and quickly the police is calling this person someone with a mental illness who should have never had a gun. Is that a different type of a mental illness than what you have or maybe someone else might have? Are there stages of being mentally ill?
Well, I have bipolar disorder.
Okay.
So mine is a mood disorder. There's some people who may have schizophrenia, which is a psychotic and thought disorder. And schizophrenia is much harder to treat than I think bipolar disorder is. But if people go untreated, there's a problem. I mean, someone shoots up for no reason to students at a school.
Yeah.
He's probably not being treated.
Yeah.
For his illness. So that's the difference.
And there might be some people who might not even know that person has a mental illness because they act just like everyone else. The only time a person, you know, only time someone may find out if a person has a mental illness is probably if they do something strange by their behavior, the way they're, you know, acting or something.
Yes.
Would you say that bipolar is the most serious of all mental illnesses?
I would say, I think, I would think schizophrenia is the most serious.
Oh, okay.
Because bipolar disorder, I mean, it has some forms of affective schizophrenia because you have manic episodes. But the bipolar is you go from an extreme high state to an extreme low state. It switches off. But with schizophrenia, it's a psychotic, and you're delusional and paranoid, and you hear, see things.
Yeah.
It all depends on the circumstance.
So how are you making it? You sound like such a sweet person. How are you making it? How are you doing it? I mean, do you have support groups and things like that around you and to help you and to keep you positive? And
yes,
you know,
I have a support team. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends who support me. I'm involved with organizations like NAMI. I'm involved with supported employment programs, clubhouses. And I have my psychiatrist and therapist for support. And
okay.
With all of that, I also conduct my own support group for Orthodox Jewish families. So I think with all of that said, it has
yeah, that's quite a bit, yeah.
Recovery.
That's great. That's great. And I wanted to say, I went on Amazon and I looked up your book, Surviving Mental Illness, and I see a lot of positive reviews for it. It's
mm-hmm.
great. It's wonderful. It's a lot of positive reviews for it. And I don't think the book is just for those with mental illness. I think that the book is for also for people to learn and to know about mental illness and how to spot it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. And you have a lot of – let me see if I can read one of the reviews for you. Okay, this review is, I quote, put aside your own inner mental carping. I think that's what that is. My printer didn't print out pretty good. Read this memoir about a person who volunteers, builds a portfolio, works her way up to a paying job, gets married after a long engagement, and experiences the dying process of her parents. What's interesting about that? Add the person who also suffers from a debilitating cycle of mania and depression, experiencing crippling hallucinations in her late teens and as a young adult, and has worked her way back from that abyss and has this great memoir. I think that's a great that's one of many great reviews that you have for this book. And, you know, it's great. Why do you think, I mean, this is probably a dumb question, but why do you think people should buy this book?
Because I think it's important to be educated
uh-huh.
and to be knowledgeable
mm-hmm.
about mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if one person hears another person's story, that can inspire them and give them hope.
Mm-hmm.
to achieve their dreams, their goals.
Why did you choose the title Surviving Mental Illness? Because it's such a straightforward and blunt title that we, you know, anybody can decipher it. But why did you choose that title? Because you're letting
because
people know that they can.
I felt that I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was brave enough to come out,
and talk about it, and talk about your
better person, and to be able
yeah.
to talk about it, and to educate
mm-hmm.
others.
Yeah.
So I felt that I was a survivor, and that's why
yeah.
I felt the surviving mental illness.
Yeah, anytime that someone gets some type of disease, if it's curable or not curable, we all want to help others because they might be suffering with the same thing. And I think
mm-hmm.
your book will help others who are suffering from mental illness. If you're not suffering from mental illness, maybe you know somebody who is, and that book could, you know, be like a reference copy or something. Try to, you know, if it's not curable, you can live with it a little bit better with all the medications. Are there medications to this illness medications?
Yes, there are medications mm-hmm. to this illness.
What do people need to know about that?
Well, in my first chapter, I
uh-huh.
just mental illness and the three disorders, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, and there
I
also
excuse me,
medications
do you,
that you take to treat mm-hmm. it. For bipolar, most people take lithium or Depakote. For schizophrenia, they take an antipsychotic, like Risperdal or Seroquel
mm.
or Prolixin, Haldol.
Linda.
Yes.
Do you have your book with you? Can you read an excerpt?
Just a second.
Take your time. If you haven't got it, it's okay.
Just looking for it. I don't know where I put it.
This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, speaking with Linda Cates, the author of Surviving Mental Illness. She's looking for an excerpt. If you can't find it, Linda, it's fine. We can move on.
I can't find it right now.
Okay, no problem. Next time you can always, have it, read it, whatever. If someone has bipolar or a mental illness, how would they find a support group?
Well, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, has many support groups. And if you look on their website, and each county has a NAMI local affiliate, so if you look on their website, you can list a bunch of support groups that will be helpful. NAMI is one of them. There are others that give groups. Clubhouses have support groups.
Thanks for that information. We're gonna, I'm pretty sure there's some people out there who are going to take that information at heart, because, like I said, I think majority of the people out here know someone with a mental illness. I'm not saying it's a very severe mental illness, but some sort of mental illness. Even I do. I think I know a few people who have a problem with mental illness. I don't think it's as far as bipolar. I'm not sure. But there's people with mental illness walking among us every day, and we don't even know it. Just like there's people out here walking with the diabetes, and we don't know it. But mental illness is common. Wouldn't you say it's a common thing?
Yes. It's a common disorder, just like a physical disorder. But it's mental, mind.
But
the mind is treated differently than a physical disorder.
So, this book, did you write it, or do you have a co-writer, or did you have any input on the cover design?
I wrote it. I had some input on the cover design.
Great. It's a nice cover. I think it's a fitting cover for the title. And I like the way the title it is, because the title comes right out at you and tell you what the book is about. And there are so many books out there on this subject. What makes your book stand out? Is that all?
I think because it encourages people to have hope.
Yeah, okay, great.
I think that's the whole key. And recovery is basically living life. I think that's why it stands out, because the more people read one story, they have hope for themselves.
I totally agree. I'm going to divert a little bit. Do you know that you are a writer, and there are so many young people people in general of all ages out here, they want to write, but they are not inspired to write. How would you tell them, how would you say get inspired to write? If you love to write, do it. How would you encourage them to keep following their dreams as a writer? I know it's not a question about mental illness, but you are an author also. So.
Yes. Well, you know, for me, it was very different as a writer. You know, for me, writing came out of my own personal experience. So let's say if you have a personal experience, it's more easier to write about something like that than it is to write a fiction book.
I agree.
A book that's fiction. So, I mean, so for me, having a personal story helped. Having this mental illness helped me to write the book, to write the story.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I wrote my memoir a couple of years ago, and just by living it and experiencing it, it just flowed across the paper. It was just easier to write because I experienced it. You know, it wasn't like fiction where you have to kind of do a lot of research and make up stuff here and there, but it's not hard putting something down on paper that you have experienced, that you have lived. That's not hard at all. And so I know where you're coming from on that aspect. Okay, do you have the, let me see, what was I going to say? Okay, all right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. My guest on the show at this moment is Linda Katz. Her book is Surviving Illness, Mental Illness. Linda, where can we find your book?
You can find my book on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Outskirts Press Bookstore.
Okay, it's in the bookstore.
No, it's on Outskirts Press Bookstore.
Okay.
Outskirts Press is my publisher.
Okay.
So it's on their bookstore. And you can also find it on my website.
Okay.
Surviving-mental-illness.com.
Okay. And how is the book doing so far?
It's doing
great. It's doing wonderful, right? It's beautiful.
Doing
it's
wonderful.
Great book.
Last week alone, I noticed that 4 people bought the book.
Great.
So,
That's beautiful.
I'm happy with the way with how it's progressing.
Great.
But
that's wonderful.
I plan to do more radio shows like this.
Well, you can always do this show. I mean, you can always come on this show. You can come on this show. I have a pretty good listener base here. You know, and they're loyal to me. And so you can always come on this show. And I'm pretty sure this show is always recorded. It's always archived. So people can always listen to this show, you know, long after I'm off the air, you know. So,
yeah.
And I do advertise it. I do put it out there. And every show that I do, I put it out there. So once we get done here, a lot of people are going to know about this. If they don't know about it already, and if they're not listening already, but, you know, they will know about your book, Surviving Mental Illness, because this is an epidemic. And I'm not kidding. It is. It is an epidemic. Linda, would you like to, what would you like to say about your book and mental illness that you have not said already? Can you think of anything that you have not said already that you would like to say? Or you can just repeat what you've said. It doesn't matter.
Like I said, that recovery is all about living life.
Mm-hmm,
and overcoming its challenges, just like normal people would, but it's an extra hard step. So, if you think about it in that way, you can achieve anything's possible.
Oh, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this was Linda Katz, Linda Naomi Katz on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks, Naomi. Thanks for being on the show, and I hope you come back, okay?
Thank you.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Linda Naomi Katz talking about mental illness, and she's go pick up her book. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all over the place. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Stay with me. Okay, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Almost forgot where I was broadcasting from. Broadcasting live from Chicago on the lakefront, actually on the lakefront, in my studio, looking out on the darkened Broadway, Boulevard, Avenue. Take your choice. But it's beautiful. And I want to thank once again my guest, Linda Naomi Katz, for being on my show, graciously coming on my show when I asked her to. And as you can see, she's a very, very sweet and lovely young lady. She has a mental illness, you know. So, I mean, I know a lot of people. I have known a lot of with mental illness that didn't think they had mental illness. So, you know, so she'll be back on the show, hopefully. And sometime in the future, I hope you enjoyed her, and I hope you go out and pick up her book, and also pick up my book. So don't forget me. So she's great. She was wonderful. She's great. And I wish her all the luck in the world with her illness and her helping others. She helps others. And that's what I've always said. What are you put on this earth for if you can't help others? You can't help other people. Now, you got people out here who don't want or don't like helping other people. That's their problem. That's their prerogative. But in my view, if you can't help other people, what are you? If you can't help other people, you know, if you can't help, if you can't stand up for other people who are being crucified, what are we here for if we can't do that? And I love talking to people who love helping other people. And sometimes people do not realize that they are supposed to help other people until something happens to them. They get cancer, all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to go out and help everybody with cancer. They get diabetes, oh, I got to be out here in the forefront of diabetes. But before they had those diseases, they weren't helping anybody. But you know what? It's better late than never. Help other people out. And I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. You can call me that if you want. That's up to you. But I'm not. I just like to see the right things done. You know, and I do think that one of the right things is to help others, especially when these people are in need and they are in need of no fault of their own. If you don't want to help others, you hate people, that's your problem. But for me, it's all about helping others, and I know so many other people who help others, and they keep on helping. With all of these some social programs can help out, but most of the time it's people helping people. Not a social program is involved, not a governmental social program, politicians aren't involved. It's just people helping people, Americans helping Americans, and it just pissed me off. When politicians get wind of Americans helping Americans, they try to take credit for it, and they have nothing to do with it. You know, have you ever noticed that when people are helping other people in some way, all of a sudden a politician get wind of it, and they try to take credit for Americans helping Americans? That's just low. And another thing I want to talk about, the Republicans. They are the guys who are running, the guys and girls who are running for president of the United States, who was on that stage, I think it was last Wednesday. And they are revoting now, from what I'm hearing. They want change in the debate process. They want change. They are really pissed off because they couldn't answer questions. They didn't know a damn thing. You know, so they pissed off at the network, the moderators. I mean, they really going all out. They can just kiss where the sun don't shine, as far as I'm concerned. These people are pathetic. They are totally pathetic. Because Ted Cruz looked like anybody. He doesn't need a Halloween mask. He's wearing one already. I mean, these guys, Donald Trump, I don't know. He just said the questions didn't bother him. Kasich said the questions didn't bother him, but you know, Jeb Bush said the questions didn't bother him. I don't know, but who's making these big complaints? Ted Cruz? He's from Canada. Some people are wondering if he should be running for president. You know, so they want changes in the debate format because they are the Republicans. They are the Republicans. That's stupid. That's silly. That's childish. That's just absurd. A bunch of grown men crying in their soup because the moderator asked them pertinent questions, these wonderful questions, at least some of them were. And they crying like, I could have answered those questions. Anybody could have got on that stage and answered them questions, and I'm not even running for president. They're crying because they can't lie fast enough for themselves. That's pathetic. And like I've said before, and I will keep on saying, not one of these guys is fit to be president of nothing. Not only of the United States, but they're not fit to be president of anything. Ben Carson, give me a break. He's an embarrassment to African Americans. He's an embarrassment to himself. Give me a Ted Cruz, Chris Christie, all of these Republican clowns. There's another talk show host that calls it the Bozo Bus, which I totally agree. These guys don't fill the arena. She can't lie fast enough and quick enough. You know, these guys, they're not fit to be president. What can I say? Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, 347-857-1762. And the Bears lost today. Yeah, Chicago Bears. I thought they were going to win. I watched the game for about 2 hours, and the Bears were leading, and then they were tied, and then they were tied again, and then they lost. So the Bears they lost 5 games and won only 2 games. This is not a good way to get to the Super Bowl, fellas. But I still say Bears, that was a game that the Bears should have won, because Minnesota just, you know, like so many other teams the Bears play, they just shot themselves in the foot, and they should have won. And I'll say this, most of the teams that played the Bears in the past few weeks shot themselves in the foot, but they still won because the Bears blew themselves out a lot sooner. They lost, so what do we have to live for? Next Sunday, hopefully they'll win. They are 5-2. They've lost 5 and 1-2. So far, they've played 7 games. 7 games they played as of today, which is November 1st, the day after Halloween. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Some things in the news. Former Senator Fred Thompson died today at 73. Yeah, he was a senator. And they say he didn't run for office anymore because he was just sick of it. He wanted to do something else. Yeah, he made a few movies. I saw him in a few movies. I actually, I've got a few movies that he's in. The Die Hard movies with Bruce Willis. Yeah, but this guy was a Republican senator. And he passed away. And a lot of the times, you can find this guy on TV hawking insurance for seniors in his commercials. And I still see his commercials on television today, hawking insurance for seniors on Channel 50, Channel 52 or something, over-the-air television. So that's one of the things. He's passed away. That was a surprise to me. I thought he was older than 73, because I guess whatever he had, the disease that he had, made him look older. And, you know, it's a bitch getting old. I mean, it really is. It's something else getting old. I'm not 73. I'm not there yet. I'm lucky if I ever get there. But getting old is not good. You know, your bones start to hurt. Everything starts to hurt. Everything starts to ache. But if you can get to a certain age, I mean, some people live to be, my grandmother lived to be 97 years old. Yeah, she lived to be 97, so she's seen a lot, she's been through a lot, and God bless her soul. And I know during the latter part of her life, I know she was struggling, but I have a picture sitting right here on my desk. I talk to her all the time, I talk to her every day. And I'm looking at her right now as I'm on the mic. So she was 97 years old. And, man, I don't think I want to live to be 97, actually. I don't want to be going through all of that, you know, being pushed around in a wheelchair or something. I don't want to be going through all of that, you know. So I don't know. Anyway, this is the George Wilder Show. On Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network, or the Wilder Presentation, or whatever, you know. So anyway, I enjoy doing the show, and let me once again thank Linda Baron Katz and her book, Surviving Mental Illness, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, let's take a break right here. I should be right back. Okay, let's see what we get. Break music. All right, we're back. We are back, and you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show live. We are back from Chicago, and I want to talk about something else in the news. A doctor found guilty of murder for prescribing too many prescription drugs. Three people died under her care, and she did it all for profit. This is an Asian woman. And that's a shame. And that's what I've been saying in previous shows on back. The medical industry is a profitable industry. I mean, you've got doctors prescribing medicine. You've got doctors telling you to come in for an checkup and all of that. And you don't. Maybe you don't need them. But every time you go in for a checkup, every time they write that prescription, some of that money is going in their pockets. It's profitable. And how many doctors are doing this, or they're now stopped doing this, just to get you, keep you on medication so they can, you know, keep money in their pockets? The medical industry is profitable, and it's about money. It's business. Every time you walk into that doctor's office, even if you're just sitting there, you're being charged. You know, I mean, the first thing you walk up when you walk into another thing, the first thing you do when you walk into a doctor's office, you walk up to the counter. The lady behind the counter is going to say, huh, what kind of insurance you got? They want to know how you're going to pay for your examination or testing. You know, they want to know how much you're going to pay. I mean, that's normal, but you know it kind of proves that the medical industry is profitable. I understand people do work; they want to get paid for it. But when you are abusing other people's lives because you want money, you know that's something else. You know, everybody always saying follow your doctor's advice. Following doctor's advice can get you dead. You know, so and this is going to be a precedent for other doctors and hospitals and clinics all over the U.S. and maybe all over the world saying do not prescribe, over-prescribe any patient because you want to charge their insurance company a lot of more money, and especially when they don't need the medication. And even if they prescribe medication, I'm hearing, and if the patient overdoses on it or take too many pills, the doctor still can be held liable. So we'll have to wait and see what the talk on that will be. But anyway, this is like a landmark decision that's going to be going down about doctors and their practices and them writing so many prescriptions for their patients who may not need that medication, you know. You know, so it's a profitable thing. All right, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Linda Barron, Naomi Katz. If you heard her, if you listened to her, you just kind of got a little bit emotional in your heart for her. And like I said, I hope she comes back on the show. I don't know, but I would love to know what she thought about the show and the interview. Most of the time when I'm interviewing people on the show, they give the interview a thumbs up. You can just go to my webpage, georgewilderjr.com, and you'll see all my guests and everything they've said. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about the – we talked about the Democrats. We talked about the Bears losing. And, yeah, that was an air disaster somewhere. We're going to find out where that is. And there's also deadly weather in Texas. I believe we talked about that. And we talked about the Republican debate. And but however, we didn't say that the Republicans are thinking about boycotting the debates. I believe they got one next week or something, or the week and a half from now, or something to that effect. And they're talking about boycotting the debate. John Kasich said he'll be there. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump will be there because Donald Trump loves the camera. The camera loves Donald Trump. Too bad the America doesn't. So we'll just have to wait for that and see what's going to happen there. All righty, let's move right along. Let's move right along. The state of Illinois is still shut down, and I have to talk about this every day because nobody's doing anything about anything, and I'm getting hoarse from shouting so much. Excuse me. I better take my cough drops or something. Well, anyway, this state is still shut down, and I don't know what to say anymore. These guys aren't talking. They don't care. And anybody who's anybody is jumping in Rauner's ass. They're blaming him for everything because this state was never like this until he took a hold of it. And it will never be the same after we get a budget, if we get a budget at all. You know, so... And there's so many people who have been hurt because of this. They've been hurt because of this. I understand that there's people out there who just don't give a damn about other people. I understand it, but I do. I understand people who wonder why I'm the way that I am. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal. I'm sorry to tell you. I am an independent. You know, so, but I do care about what's going on in my state. I don't want to see it going over the cliff, even though we have politicians who don't seem to give a damn about it going over the cliff because they're not doing anything. And there's been so much stuff in the paper about Michael Madigan. He's going to be getting richer off of this $588 million tax increase over the next few years that Rahm Emanuel ram through the city council. My thing is, I just reiterate what I just keep saying all the time, and that is vote. These people are asses. We have to vote them out. You have to vote. We didn't vote last November. That's why we got where. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Period. People did not vote in Illinois. That's why we're in the mess we are in. And there are so many people out here wishing they could take their vote back. It's too late. And there are people out here who are on Rauner's side. They right with him. They don't give a damn. They hate everything. They hate Illinois. They hate people. And they just right in Rauner's corner. And everybody who's anybody with any common sense know that this man is wrong for not getting a budget for this state. Every state in the state of Illinois, I mean, every state within the United States has a budget except for Illinois. There's just no excuse for that. There is just no excuse. I understand a lot of the Republicans in Illinois are on the side of Rauner. Most of them, not all of them, because a lot of Republicans are criticizing Rauner also. Not only Democrats that are criticizing him, the Republicans are criticizing him. GOP, the conservatives, are criticizing Rauner. Because there is no budget, because he's an asshole, because he's not a people person, because he's not people-oriented, and he's not. He goes around smiling and grinning and shaking hands people, they do not walk up to him and shake his hand. He goes over to them and starts shaking, grab them by the hand and shake it. You know, so there's a problem there. And we have gun control.
Let's talk about violence for a minute. Two new reports have come out in recent days showing just how violent the United States has truly become. The first study, which comes from the University of Alabama, shows that the United States has had at least 90 mass shootings over the last 50 years where four or more people were murdered. This does not include robberies or hostage situations either. This is only accounts of gunmen who go on shooting sprees. These 90 mass shootings make up an astounding one-third of all the mass shootings that took place across the planet during that 50-year span. The second study, which isn't so much a study as it is a warning, comes from the FBI itself. According to a leaked intelligence bulletin, the FBI has warned officers that right-wing extremist groups have begun targeting mosques and Muslims in the United States. According to the report, many of these extremists have conducted surveillance of diverse locations, including Alaska, Arizona, Indiana, Montana, New York, North and South Carolina, Utah, and Texas, with some groups hoping to train their members for combat with the so-called Islamic State. The fear being drummed up by the right-wing media is what is driving this violent anti-Muslim extremist movement in the United States. And the fact that the FBI has this on their radar shows how serious this problem really is becoming right now. But both of these stories underlie the larger problem in America. And that is, maybe it's time that we reevaluate the validity of the Second Amendment. Think about this. According to the Supreme Court's interpretation of the Second Amendment, an interpretation from decades ago, every U.S. citizen has the right to own a firearm. Fair enough, but just remember that this court case could have just as easily swung the other way, saying that this is not the case, so we have to take into account the political leanings of the court at that time. After all, Republicans challenged the validity of Roe v. Wade constantly, so we can do the same. Secondly, the perceived right to own a gun in the United States is the only right that can't be stripped away in any form. Our freedom of speech is limited in many ways, and most of them in ways that protect society, like not being able to yell fire in a crowded building. But look at the right to vote, the very foundation of our democracy. If you are a convicted felon in the United States, you are stripped of your right to vote in the United States forever. You are no longer a full U.S. citizen because you are forbidden from participating in our democracy. But that same convicted felon has no problem going out and buying a gun, since there are loopholes that allow gun shows to bypass the waiting period and background check rules. It's also silly when you consider the fact that owning a gun is a right, but we have no right to clean air, clean water, food, shelter, or any of the necessities to survive. We may be homeless and on our own, but the government will damn sure protect our right to buy a gun. And that's insane. The Second Amendment was written at a very different time in American history and is completely outdated. If you disagree, look at the Third Amendment. Look at what that says, that the government can't force us to quarter troops in our homes. Do you really think we still need that in the U.S. Constitution? And that amendment is just as archaic as the Second Amendment. Here's the bottom line. Americans no longer respect the power and responsibility that comes from owning a firearm. Yes, there are plenty of exceptions to that, but as a whole, as a country, we fail. We believe that just because it's a so-called right, that we don't have to learn safety, that we don't have to undergo background checks to keep weapons out of the hands of psychopaths, and that everyone who disagrees is some sort of anti-American liberal wimp. With the number of mass shootings happening in the United States, it is way past the time to revisit our gun laws. We need to do more to keep deadly weapons out of the hands of mentally unstable people. The law-abiding gun owners have absolutely nothing to worry about. But the fact remains that our gun laws are an absolute mess. And if we don't take action, then we can only expect to see the number of hate crimes and mass murders continue to rise.
Yeah, once again, the beloved Bears, Chicago Bears, they lose. What else is new, huh? And Texas is being battered by tornadoes, wild weather, flash floods. It's a foot of rain in some areas. It's a mess. 6 people killed. And the devastation is also going on in Houston, Texas. So like I just said before, I'm keeping my eye on this because, I don't know, I may have some kind of a stake in Houston. I'm not sure. But we have to pray for those people. We really do have to pray for that state, actually. One of the things I can say about Texas, it doesn't have Rick Perry anymore. he's not even in the debates, the presidential debates anymore. He dropped out. And I think that's a good thing because he was just another idiot Republican. And like I said before, they are trying to control the debate. They want to control the narrative. And this is just not going to happen. This is not going to happen. The Republicans are not going to control these debates. They're not going to happen. The people who are going to control these debates are the American people because we are the voters and they are the ones who are asking us for our votes so they can get the job and be in the White House. So them trying to control the debate, they're just looking more sillier. You know, they just looking more sillier. Boycotting NBC. What kind of crap is that? NBC is supposed to be boycotting them. But you know what? NBC is probably kissing their feet because NBC want the money that's going to be generated through sponsorship if they show up, if the debate is carried on that network. And basically when people are watching, 24, 25 million people or more are watching those debates, they're watching to see one person, and that's Donald Trump. Then they're not tuning in to see Chris Christie, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz. They're not tuning in to see those people. They're tuning in to the debate to see Donald Trump, and the networks know this. They know this. Donald Trump is going around right now. Donald J. Trump is going around right now doing all kinds of interviews, just him by himself, and he's bringing the audience with him. Donald Trump is saying, I don't need no damn debates. I don't need nobody's money. I don't need for you to ask me those kinds of questions. He can go around the United States, maybe even the world, and get on any show he wants to get on and say what he wants to say, how he wants to say it, without being asked any questions. The others can't do that. They cannot do that. Donald Trump can do that. I mean, there isn't a news outlet anywhere in the United States of the world that will turn Donald Trump down if he wanted to be a guest on their show. They would turn some of the others down, but not Donald Trump. It's all about Donald Trump. Jeb Bush is he's out as far as I'm concerned. He's going to be dropping out pretty soon. Even he knows it because I think the last time I saw him on television or on a video, he was saying, I got to get better. I'm going to get better. I got to get better. Even saying that is driving money away from his campaign. Nobody wants to hear you say you're going to get better. People want you to be better. Because if you say you're going to get better, most likely you're not. You're not going to get better. How the hell are you going to get better when you done floundered and flopped and gaffed so many times? All of a sudden, you're going to pull yourself up out of the gutter and start being better. I don't think so. I think Jeb Bush, he's in the single digits. He's polling in the single digits. The only people that I think that are in double digits are Trump and this guy named Ben Carson. But Jeb Bush is through. He's done. He's done. He's toast. And he's known. He's just hanging on, hoping for a glimmer of luck, a glimmer of light or something. But he's done. And, you know, but it doesn't matter to me, you know, because I'm not going to vote for none of these guys anyway. No way. And you shouldn't either. You should not vote for any of these clowns. Like I just said, another radio host calls it the bozo bust, the Republicans who are running for president of the United States. And I'm going to say this again, too, and I've said this in other radio shows. They've given so far three televised debates, and they have drawn millions and millions and millions of listeners. But the majority of those listeners were disappointed. They were disappointed. I mean, they were totally disappointed. The only people that probably weren't disappointed are the big donors, the corporations. I mean, they like Rubio. I think Rubio has money flowing in from the rich. So I think he has money flowing in. I think Ted Cruz might have a little bit flowing in. But Jeb Bush has nothing flowing in. He screwed up. He messed up. I mean, his attack on Rubio backfired on him. If you've seen the debate, if you saw it. I think I have a clip of it, but I'm not going to play it because I'm all played out for the Republican debates. They have another one coming up, and we're going to cover it. Everybody's going to cover it. I mean, it's what we do. It's our job. Even if we don't want to cover it, even if we don't want to talk about it, you know, it'll be talked about. You know, so, but Jeb Bush is in total hot water. I mean, he's ruining the legacy that his father and brother. I don't think George W. Bush had a legacy. No way. He cheated himself in the office, and Jeb helped him down there in Florida. Remember? So we all remember that. But the Republicans hope that we get amnesia. We won't remember stuff. Or they try to change our minds from what we're really thinking. We're thinking the truth. They're going to try and change our minds with lies, you know, and think we're dumb enough to believe it. Some of us are. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. All righty, this is the day after Halloween. This is November 1st, 2015, in case you're listening to the show in podcast, or you're listening to the show and or you're archiving it, or you're recording it, or you're just listening to it any way you can. I try to put the dates on the show so you'll know that if you're not listening live, you can always archive the show. That's no problem. All right, George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. Like I said before, I'm going to be doing something on elder abuse next week. And I think this is long overdue for me. I've never done a show on elder abuse. And I'm going to do it on the show now because elder abuse is rampant within the United States. Young people beating up on old people. I'm going to bluntly put it, okay? Young people, old people being abused. I mean, people in their 80s and 90s being kicked all in the face. I mean, this is terrible. You know, being threatened. And some of this abuse is happening by their own children. Their adult children are abusing their adult mothers, adult grandmothers, mothers, and it's just appalling. Some people abuse their parents, their older parents, because they just like to abuse older people because they're helpless and they're weak. You've got people out here who do not even like older people. They think, you know, that they're old and they're going to die and they're no good and they're weak. You know, you got people, you family members beating up on, like I just said, family members beating up on their mother and grandmother to try to get some money. You know, if grandma, a mom, and 60, 70, 80 years old, and they got money in the bank, and the child wants money to buy drugs or something, they're going to abuse their parents to try to scare their parents into giving up the money. This happens. This happens. I think elder abuse happens more among family members than anywhere else. A lot of people are saying basically elder abuse actually happens in nursing homes. I actually think that some nursing homes have actually, but there's a few bad employees everywhere. I mean, I was, a friend of mine and I, he's an older guy, if I can tell this story. A friend of mine and I, he was looking for, senior housing, senior housing. He lived alone. He was looking for senior housing. So, I was just out there with him, and we came up on this building. It was a senior housing building. I'm not going to say what company it's from, but we went inside, we looked around. It wasn't that many people, but you could tell there was a facility for older people. And we looked around. There was all kind of pictures on the wall, and there was desks everywhere. It was like a lobby situation where there was couches and there was chairs and flowers, planted flowers and paintings all on the wall. It looked pretty nice. It was a place for older people. And then suddenly this skinny African-American lady came out in a blue uniform, and she was about in her 50s or something or other. She was short. We were taller than she was. And she started being nasty. We didn't even know her. We never seen her. She never seen us. She just thought we were coming in there and we told her we was coming in there to check out a senior apartment for this guy. And I guess we look old to her. And I guess she just felt that if you're old, then that you're somebody to be picked on or to be bullied or to be taunted. And I quickly came to my friend's defense. I mean, see, we didn't even know this lady. And obviously she was an employee of the building. And my thinking was, if she's going to treat us this badly and we're not even tenants of the building, just imagine how she's treating some of the older people that are tenants of the building. I mean, this lady was really a mean ass. I mean, there's sometimes you walk up to some of these people who have these jobs and they have attitudes. I mean, you can't ask them directions or anything. You can't ask them where something is when it's their job to tell you. And all of a sudden they get pissed off and get angry at you. I've said this 1,000 times. I think the majority of the people who are working in the United States hate their jobs. They hate their jobs, and they take it out on the customer. They take it out on the people. But this lady in this senior building who treated us like dirt before she even knew what we wanted was just pathetic. And she should have been reported. Somebody should have reported her, because if she treated us like that, then she probably treating the people who lived in the building who are seniors just as badly. And I can't get it. I just can't get it. I have to learn a little bit more about elder abuse. But I do know that it's pathetic and it's happening. And that's why I'm going to do a show, and hopefully I can get a guest on the show to talk about it. Or I can find a real, really, really good audio clip, and I can play it on the show. People who have been victims of elder abuse. It's happening all the time. And sometimes it's happening in apartments. It's happening in homes. It's happening at senior centers. It's happening at senior buildings, apartment complexes. It's happening all over the place. You know, and we got to find a cure for it. Excuse me. There is no cure for it. But I would say I'm going to do a show on it, and I guess anybody would say if you see something, you know something, tell somebody. Because senior abuse, elder abuse is rampant. Some people just don't like old people. I mean, for nothing in the world. I mean, an old person is to be, like I just said, an old person is to be bullied, taunted, and made fun of because they're old. People pick on older people because they're fragile, they're weak. You know, so, but some people, some older Americans you can't mess with. They're going to kick your ass. You cannot mess with them, okay? But there are some people who, I mean, it's just heartbreaking. It's to me, it's the same as elder abuse. It's the same to me as domestic violence. I mean, it's right up there with it. Child abuse, domestic violence, elder abuse. It's right up there with everything else. So I'm going to be doing a show on that. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be setting it up, booking it. I'm going to try to get a guest on the show. If I cannot get a guest, we're going to have some clips on the show on elder, and it's going to be good. If you don't know about elder abuse, if you do know about elder abuse, you should listen to the show once I get it booked. It's going to be phenomenal. I don't see or hear many outlets, newspapers or television shows or talk show hosts talking about this issue. This is an issue that should never go away. Just like child abuse, this domestic violence, elder abuse is an issue that should never go away because it's going to always be happening. Whether it's happening next door or a million miles away, it's bad. Older people should not be subject to physical violence by anyone. Not some relative, not some friend, not some stranger, not anyone. And another thing, elder abuse does not have to be, can be verbal, threatening or something like that. Cheating some elder person out of their money or trying to take their money from them or lying to them, that to get something out of them, that's also abuse. And it's just phenomenal. I think people who abuse, this is just me, I think people who abuse older Americans are just plain old cowards. I think they're cowards. Just like the guy who takes a gun and walks up behind somebody and shoots them in the head. I think they're cowards. People who misuse older people are cowards. Totally. I mean, because if that elder person was 30 years younger, the abuse would not be happening. Because that guy or woman would be strong enough to take that person out. I mean, you've got to be low below the lowest to pick on an elderly person. You've got to be lower than low to abuse, misuse, and physically fight an older person who is totally helpless. Helpless. But this is happening. 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on live radio, live internet radio. As you know, the internet, on the internet, you got to always be on guard for the internet to act up on you, to go out. Excuse me. To go out, to act up on you. To just not be right. You never know. You never know. This is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, and I will be right back. Let's see if we can do this one. Let's see. Where are we going? Right here? All right. There we go. Got it? Okay.
Father,
I want to thank once again Linda Baron Katz for being on the show. She was talking about surviving mental illness. Her book, it can be found on Amazon. Check it out. Check it out. If you know someone who suffers from mental illness, I recommend this show because no one can talk better about a subject like this unless that person themselves are going through themselves. You get it straight from the person's mouth, you know, so surviving mental illness. And if I can just joke about it a little while, I mean, I think a lot of these people around here are crazy. I'm not talking about Linda or anything. I'm just being a little facetious. But I've known a lot of people, I think, during my life that were acted if they were, you know, knew what they were talking about and acted if they were intelligent, bright or whatever. And you found out they had a problem. So I'm making light of it. I'm just joking around. So, but check her book out and check the show out. This is a beautiful show, a wonderful show. I'm glad she was on, and I hope she returns to the show. And if she doesn't, if it doesn't work out, that's fine. You know what I mean? things go wrong. But like I said before, and I'll be off for the next 2 days after tonight, next 3 days, actually. I'll be setting up next week's shows, and I should have, I have a few guests booked for the following weeks. But I'm also going to do the Elder Abuse show. I'm going to hook that up as soon as I get off the air today or tomorrow morning or whenever. But it's a go. It's a go for the Elder Abuse show. So stick around if you know older people, have them listen to the show. if you know young people, have them listen to the show, because I think the show is going to benefit everybody, because we all know someone who's up in age, and we don't want to see our loved ones abused, whether at the hands of family or at the hands of someone who's working at a nursing home or at the hands of someone who is working at a senior citizen building, you know, because it can happen. People will just be angry and upset and mean to an older person for no reason at all, just because that person is old and up in age. That should not give anybody the right to be pissed off and mean to the person badly because they're up in age. But it happens, and that's why I'm going to do a show on it. I'm going to do a show. I don't know if I'm going to solve it or bring any kind of remedy, but I can shed some light on it. That's what it's all about. This show is all about shedding on important issues in America. In America, gun control, the economy, you know, health care, all of this stuff is talked about on my show. And other shows, but like I said, listen to this one, because what you may not get from that one, you may get from this show. All right, we're going to take a break right now, if we're not going off the air, because I believe I have around about maybe a minute left or something like that. Okay. The Bears lost. I think we talked about that. I'm kind of disappointed because someone just whispered in my ear 90 seconds. I'm a little bit upset because I thought they were going to win. I mean, this is no way to get to the Super Bowl. Fellas. All righty. This is George Water Jr. of the George Water Jr. Show signing off. See you, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye. Bye. So long.